Blog Talk Radio.
Good Saturday morning, and welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I'm your host, Keith Howard, and we have another great, great show for you today. Been a busy week. We got a little college football tipped off. I was watching some games last night, Indiana-Kansas. That was a great game, went to overtime. Indiana got the edge on that one. And my Pitt Panthers went into double overtime and won their basketball game. So college basketball in full swing. So we also got pro basketball. You know, got Wizards right down the street. Starting off slow. Again, and I mentioned this last week, we had a super referee Craig Muckle on the show. You know, the NBA just doesn't excite me. I don't know what it is. Maybe I got to start watching some more games. I don't know. But we got hockey. NHL is beginning their season. So the puck's dropping all over the country. And, of course, our friends to the north in Canada. And, of course, the NFL. And as the NFL season begins to start to grind down, and now we're getting in the home stretch, and, you know, we see who's now going to make the playoffs. And we also see, you know, kind of the game changes. When the cold weather months start happening, run game is a big, big deal. Defenses are putting 8 in the box to stop the run. I mean, this is football right here. So, you know, we'll see in a few weeks. We'll see, you know, who's going to make the playoffs and who's packing it in early. And speaking of packing it in early, I don't know if you watched the Ravens-Browns the other night, but, oh, my goodness. The Cleveland Browns, they are awful. They are a bad, bad football team. And here's the scary part. They're actually slowly getting better. They're in the top 5 in rushing as a team, which is pretty good. They're on their 5th quarterback, though. They've still got an issue at quarterback. They do have a pro bowler on the offensive line in Joe Thomas, but there's nothing else there on the offensive line. They got Collins from the Patriots in the trade, and he's playing well, but there's nothing else on defense. Joe Hayden's a cornerback, who I actually coached against in high school. Joe Hayden's a great athlete. So they've got some parts, but at the end of the day, that's all they have are parts. It's like a car. They got like a motor over there and a steering wheel over there, but they don't really have the whole thing, the glue to stick together. The Browns are terrible. So, we've also got some college football. We've got rivalry games coming up here right around the corner. We've got bowl games that are just a week away. So I got an email from the Military Bowl the other day already promoting their game. So we got bowl games coming. And you know what? College football is king for me. And so that will lead us to our pay attention topic is college football. And as we did a couple weeks ago, we went through the top 10. So let's breeze through the top 10 real quick, shall we? Let's hit the button. College football, the pay attention topic. If you look at the top 10 right now, you know, there's some weird things going on in the top 10. You've got Penn State ranked number 10, severely overranked. And I'm not just saying that because I went to the University of Pittsburgh. I'm saying it because they have a good quarterback. Trace McSorley is a really fine running and throwing quarterback. They got a really good back who may shatter some records at Penn State. But they're severely overranked. They already have two losses. They've played mostly teams with losing records. When they played a team with a winning record, which was Michigan, 49-10. So they had a slow start with Iowa last week. This record is a fraud. They're 7-2. They'll go to a great bowl game. But this is all about the tradition. They're trying to bring it back, trying to, you know, have us forget the transgressions of the program with Coach Sandusky. And I think it's actually working. So they're way overranked, Penn State. So and don't forget, Pitt did beat Penn State, so that's a big deal. Then you got Auburn, Texas A&M, and Wisconsin, who basically round out the two-loss teams. These teams have no impact on the playoffs. Now, you got to watch Auburn, though. Texas A&M and Wisconsin, they're done. They got their two losses. They'll win out the rest of their games, but they have no impact on the playoffs. But you got to watch Auburn because they still got Alabama on the schedule. And so, you know, by having Alabama on the schedule, Alabama's ranked number one. I'll talk about that a little bit later. Then you got Ohio State and Louisville. Now, both of these teams got slim shots, but Louisville's shot is even slimmer. Louisville's got pretty much an easy schedule the rest of the way. They're not going to play anybody of an opposing nature. But Ohio State's got Michigan the weekend, Thanksgiving weekend. That's the game. So Ohio State beats Michigan in that game. You watch them squeeze into the playoffs, even with their two losses. Their one loss. Even with their one loss already, they beat Michigan, they squeeze in, and they go in as probably number four, depending on what Washington does. Speaking of Washington, now we're down to the final four. And so when you look at Husky Nation, really the University of Washington still has two tough games. They've got USC tonight. USC's ranked 20 in the country. USC's emerging, and I think they're starting to get that USC swagger back, but they're not quite ready yet. I think Washington beats them tonight. And then Washington's got to go and play in the Apple Cup, big rivalry game versus number 23 Washington State. I think that game goes down to the wire. But again, I think the Huskies pull that out. They showed me something against Utah last week. I think they pull that game out. So I say Washington wins both of those games. Wins out the rest, and they get in. They get into the national championship playoff. Then you've got Michigan. So for Michigan, it's pretty easy. They've blown everyone out. It comes down to the Ohio State game Thanksgiving weekend, and I go with old khaki pants, Jim Harbaugh, to win that game right there. I just think he motivates his teams like no other. I know that there's already talk about him leaving and going to the NFL. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but if it does, he's got to win now. So he's not going to lose to Ohio State. So Michigan wins that. Number two, Clemson. So Clemson, they play today, and they play Pittsburgh. So in my opinion, just examining Clemson's schedule, if they win out, they'll probably end up playing Virginia Tech in the ACC championship game. Clemson will easily win that. So really the only team that stands in the way of Clemson in the playoffs is Pitt. So I called up to the locker room this weekend, talked to guys on the team and around the team, and they feel confident. They feel like they can score with Clemson. The problem is they can't stop anybody. So Clemson's a high-powered offense. So that one's going to be high-scoring. Don't know who's going to win that one, but we shall see. And then we've got number one, Alabama. Roll Tide. So here's the thing. Alabama, they got a tough one today. They got Mississippi, especially coming off of the LSU game. They got Mississippi State. I think Alabama wins that game. It'll be a slugfest. I think they win that game. But then they got the Iron Bowl, and I mentioned earlier about Auburn. You got to watch Auburn. Auburn's starting to peak a little bit, and that Iron Bowl is a big rivalry game. You never know what can happen. Throw the record books out of the window. But you know what? I said it once, I said it twice, I'm going to keep saying it. Alabama's like a pro team. Nah, they don't lose to the Iron Bowl, they don't lose to Mississippi State, they don't lose any games. Roll Tide, roll. They spent a lot of time in Alabama. That team is prime for winning championships. That's what they do. So, you know, we'll continue to track college football. We'll continue to track the Final Four to see who makes it and who is crowned our national champion. So, hey, we're going to take a break right now and then come back with a great guest, Courtney Grange. Courtney runs a great nonprofit called Fly. And we're going to have some interesting conversation around athletes turning into entrepreneurs. So stay tuned as we cool our jet. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Chucky B, take us away. Show had a little problem there with Chuck's music. I'm going to have to figure Chuck out here because I can't have problems with Chuck. That can't happen. So we'll get that cleaned up. But anyway, so as I mentioned before the break, our guest this week, Courtney Grange, friend of the show, a second time on the show, which is always good. He runs a great nonprofit called Fly, F-L-Y-E. And we wanted to chat with him this morning about athletes turning into entrepreneurs. Courtney, welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. How are you?
Hey, Keith, what's going on, man? Good to be back. How's everything?
Man, everything is good. Little brisk on this fall morning, but everything is good. Courtney, tell us, tell our listening audience about Fly. I love the name Fly. I love it. Tell everybody who, if they haven't heard about it, what's Fly?
Sure, man. So Fly is Future Leaders and Young Entrepreneurs. Of course, we go by the acronym FLY for short. And our mission is to intentionally expose high school age youth to diverse avenues of success. And one of the major ways that we do that, of course, as you mentioned before, is helping student athletes realize the power of entrepreneurship early in their lives.
So, wow, that's a tall task, and bless you for taking it on. Now, many of your students, they're high school athletes, right? They play football, basketball,
yep,
what have you. And you're preparing them, you're training them, you're teaching them to be entrepreneurs. But what about the current pro athlete, whether he left straight from high school and went straight to the pros, or whether he's that veteran who's winding down his career? How do they make the transition from, you know, being on the court or on the ball field to running a business? How does that work?
Yeah, man, it's an interesting transition or topic in general. It hits personally for me. My father, you know, played all 4 years of college, played semi-pro, and chased that dream for about 8 years after college was over, until he realized, you know, it just wasn't going to work for him. And eventually, literally, over the past 35 years, has developed into an entrepreneur. So I lived firsthand, you know, a lot of that transitional period in his life where he was trying to figure out how to move from something that he had done and spent all of his time on into something completely new. Even though he had a degree, he graduated from college, there was still not a lot of soft skill development that went into it. And that's the biggest thing that I think relates to, you know, the professional ranks of today's day and age, is there's just these small things that get overlooked that are extremely important. Like, for example, you know, you could be a first round draft pick, get a multi-million dollar contract, but then you can't go out and buy a car because you don't have any credit. So you need a cosigner as a millionaire because nobody ever taught you the value of establishing credit while you were in college. So it's little things like that. And when we talk about entrepreneurship, it's really about it's anybody who sees a need and fills it. So it's not necessarily just a businessman or somebody who starts a business, but it's about people really, really looking at filling needs that exist, whether it's in your community, in your home. But the way you do that is through a lot of the soft skills and professional skills that we teach through, of course, the concept of entrepreneurship.
So, Courtney, help me out with this now. So when a student athlete, whether in high school or college, but I'll stay with college. When a college athlete gets, he signs that letter of intent, he basically gets a grant or a loan, however we want to call it, a scholarship for about $250,000 for 4 years to go to college. And then if he's lucky, he'll sign a multi-million dollar contract to play a sport. But it sounds like he hasn't been trained on even how to manage basic money. Is
Yeah,
that what
that's
happened?
very true. In a lot of cases, I mean, it is very much sport specific. So, of course, you talk about college football, college basketball. Those are majorly where you see a lot of the, like you mentioned, you're signing away 4 years for about a $250,000 loan to play your sport, but you don't really have the opportunity to do much else. Now, other sports have other regulations when it comes to, NCAA or whatever governing body is in there. But for the most part, I mean, you are correct. And I think you were being very generous when you said, if they're lucky, they'll make it to a professional rank. I think it's even if there's a shot in God's world that they'll make it. I mean, when you look at 0.07% of high school athletes ever will play at the professional level. In football, your average career is about 3 years. Basketball, it's a little bit longer, but there's only been around what I think 2,000 people to ever play in the NBA. Like, literally,
Right.
since its
Well, I mean,
inception, there's only been 2,000 people. So, you're
right. They got
looking
a
at, I
better
mean,
chance of
how
winning
many
the
engineers?
Powerball.
Exactly. There's more doctors. You got more people that manage McDonald's than you do playing in the professional ranks over time, over the span of the life of the sport. So, those primary skill sets, even when it comes to those that do make it, they're not even taught how to handle the business of the sport that they're playing or the career path that they've now chosen. So you get a lot of your Jamarcus Russells, you get a lot of your Ryan Leafs, you get a lot of folks that just fizzle out for whatever reason, and then on the back end of it, really don't know how to turn what used to be celebrity into something different for them. And that's where Fly specifically comes in. And we always talk about, to our young people about, look, we're trying to do our best to prepare you for life, work, and citizenship. And that's what it should be about. When we play sports, we look at the team aspect of it. We look at how much we can build together, how much we can bring people together with the sport. But then once we get off the field or off the court, all that seems to go out the window in terms of making sure that these young people continue to hold those values true. And we just decided it was time to do something about it and make sure that those things don't go by the wayside any longer.
Wow. Now, how many student athletes do you have in the program?
Ooh, so since our inception in 2013, we've worked with roughly 120 students directly. We've touched over 250 students between D.C., Maryland, Virginia, New York, New Jersey, Hartford, Connecticut. So we've done a lot of different things, and we're now moving into a brand new phase of our programming where we're going to be able to work directly with two schools within Washington, D.C., Friendship Academy and Ballou High Schools in Ward 8. Specifically for a new initiative that we have launching later this year.
So now, and I'm glad you brought up Ballou because I've spent some time at Ballou at that school. It's in Ward 8, and I'm glad you're going into the community, digging right in. So now, when you go into a Ballou and you meet, let's say, the football player, his aspirations are to make it to the big time, to the NFL. He doesn't really want to hear about this entrepreneur. About how do you kind of get him, because you just rattled off some numbers. Now, his chances of making it to the NFL are so slim, but
Yeah.
he wants to leave Ward A. So how do you sell that? What's the secret elixir to get him sold on Fly and joining you and following you?
Gotcha. So it's really interesting how we go about doing it because we don't look to defer their dreams of making it to the professional level. We actually encourage that because when we talk about the transitional skill sets from sports are what make a good entrepreneur, well, in order for you to get those transitional skill sets, you got to play sports at a high level. So we actually encourage them to continue pushing for their dream. The one, I guess you could say, tweak or one angular move that we make is to say, listen, man, you got to have a plan B and a plan C. And that's specifically due to those numbers. Now, the first thing that we generally notice is when we go into a school and talk to the young people, they're not even aware of their chances of making it professionally. Not to mention, they're not really aware of their chances of playing Division I college sports. So nobody's looking at going D2. Nobody's looking at going D3, where you can still get a full scholarship and get a much more sound education, but you're not going to be playing at an Alabama or LSU or schools of that nature. And that's the first major, I guess, mental shift you can say that we use as a special sauce is we open up their range of vision to what their sport can do for them. So we teach them about, hey, listen, there's Lafayette College in Pennsylvania where you can get a full scholarship and play in a school that has the oldest college football rivalry in history. But they're not a D1 school, and you're probably never going to see them on TV. But they're a small liberal arts college where you will specifically get one of the best educations and connected to more people that can help you in your future endeavors than you will ever get at another school where you're just required to play football. And once you start talking about that, it starts to open them up a little bit. And then the next thing that we do, which is very, very key, is we show them rather than tell them. I bring in my good buddy Jared Ricks, who graduated from Lafayette, played football for 4 years, went on to be in sales and sales and consulting, and now runs a successful tailoring business. And let him talk to them about what it was like and tell him his opportunities and what his life looks like now so that they can see while the prestige and the honor of playing at a professional level is still there. There are millions of people out here every single day living that same lifestyle from a much more sound perspective because they're leveraging their knowledge and their professional development and financial literacy to do it. So that's kind of where it starts. And from there, it really takes on a life of its own. And it's a matter of us being diligent to what the community and what the students need as opposed to what we think that they want. And that's a key thing when it comes to something like this is, anytime you go into a new school or a new environment, it's not about you. It's not about fly and the name and what we've done in the past. It's about what do they need? What's important to them and how can we tailor what we do specifically to them so that they can get to where they want to get to, man. And that's the major premise behind it that I think is, I won't say unique to us, but what we try to hold very, very true is it's not about us, it's about the kids.
Well, I can tell you what you're doing at 150 kids. That's a football team and a half. So you're doing it. You're running it, man. Hey, I know you got a big event coming up. Tell our listening audience what you got going on.
Oh, yeah. So Sunday, November 20th, from 4 to 7 p.m. at Impact Hub in D.C. That's one block up from the Chinatown Metro Station, 419 7th Street Northwest. We're holding our fourth annual anniversary event. So we've been around for 4 years. I cannot believe it's gone by so quickly. But we're holding this event just to say thank you to all the people, organizations, companies, groups that have supported us, and to share with them what's coming next with this new initiative that we have running in the schools, which is called the Knowledge Capital Coalition. And it really goes into what we've been talking about today, which is we're going to specifically work with the young people in our program to teach them hybrid tech skills, financial literacy, and professional development. And the major reason behind that is because, as many people know, a lot of the neighborhoods within D.C. are being gentrified. And as they are being gentrified, folks in those neighborhoods are being pushed out because they can no longer afford to live there. But what Knowledge Capital does is we seek to embed, as I said, professional development and financial literacy into these young people so they can understand how to make their money work, their money and their relationships work for them. We want to give them access to hybrid tech skills because you and I both know D.C. is becoming the Silicon Valley of the East Coast. So you're looking at the average technology job at this point is roughly $75,000 a year. And you look at Baloo and Friendship Academy that are in Ward 8, your average median income is around $30,000. So you're literally more than doubling what these young people would ever have imagined to make in their lifetime based on averages and giving them the opportunity to stay in the neighborhoods in which they've grown up in and be able to bring something back to that community as well. So it's a major initiative. We've got some great people involved on all different ends in terms of how we're pushing this thing out. We've been working very closely with some folks at DC Parks and Recreation to make sure that we have the right space and the right community to make this thing work for the community that we're going into. And this event on Sunday, November 20th, is really just going to be able to push it out to the community and to the masses and say, hey, listen, this is what's happening. This is what's coming, and here's how you can be a part of it. So we would absolutely love anybody that can come out to the event. If you want more details, you can head over to our website. It's very simple. It's www.fly.org/2016. That'll run you through the entire aspect of what's going on November 20th. It's also, of course, our website, so you can find out more about us there. You can get tickets. You can sponsor the event. We've got some great prizes and things there from our sponsors for it, including things from Under Armour, Sean John, Pepsi, Impact Hub, who's sponsoring us, Monumental Sports, who runs the Wizards and the Capitals. We've got things from the Washington Redskins. We've got sports and entertainment memorabilia, signed, autographed items from everybody from Jay-Z to Ray Lewis to Willie Mays. I mean, it's just been amazing, the outpour of support that we've gotten for this event and this initiative, and we would just love to share it with as many people as we can, man.
And you got Coach Howard, because I'm definitely going to be there, because I'm going to be part
of
the
team. Yeah, there
we go. So I'm looking
Coach
forward.
Is in the building.
I'm looking forward to a great evening. Courtney, hey, thanks so much for joining the Extra Points Radio Show. Continued success. I got a feeling people going to be hearing more and more and more about Fly. I just got that feeling Fly is about to blow up. So keep up the good work, man.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you soon.
Much appreciated, Coach. Always, man. Thank you.
Courtney Grange, man, I'm going to tell you what, I always say this, but I don't mind not being the smartest guy on the phone. That guy is smart as a whip, he's sharp as a tack, and I just am glad to call him a colleague and friend. Great job, Courtney. Time now for our two-minute warning. And two-minute warning really is very simple. You know, I never script these, it's just whatever's on my heart. And what was on my heart was, when he started to speak, he talked about his dad. And I can tell you right now, to me, that would kill all the ills in our country, is if fathers would be dads. If you've got a great dad who fathers you, you're going to be a little further along in the game of life. So I know I take that job real seriously. I know Courtney does with his youngster, and all the dads who are doing the right things by their kids. Keep doing what you're doing. Hey, listen, we got a couple of announcements. Next week's guest, Andre Nottingham and Richard Baptiste, they're going to be representing the Alliance for Innovation in Education. They got a big event, the 2016 Football Spotlight, on December 10th, 8 a.m. at Oxon Hill High School. They've got a financial aid seminar and college fair. And, yes, yours truly, Coach Howard, will be presenting there as well. So I'm looking forward to speaking and all of the senior football players on December 10th, Oxon Hill High School. So join us next week to hear from the Alliance for Innovation in Education. Also this week, big week this week, big, big week. There were some major, major announcements this week. And I know that you're thinking I'm going to talk about Tuesday, but I'm not. I'm going to talk about Wednesday, because on Wednesday, Coach Howard went into a weight room and announced the release date of his book, Extra Points, The Life of My Story. So you got to order your copy today. It's a great read. The book releases on December 15th, just in time for the holidays. So make sure you go to the website, www.extrapointsllc.com. Get your pre-order. They're selling like hotcakes, and I want to thank all of you who have already made your pre-order. Just a couple predictions. I got the Skins winning this weekend over Minnesota Vikings, and I got A.J. Green outplaying Beckham. That's the Monday night game, but I got the Giants winning the game. Hey, we had a great show. It was fast. It was furious, and it is now over. And as always, the extra point is up.
Does he have a vintage moment in him? In the end zone, it is caught for the win! Reed takes the catch for a Redskins touchdown. Hopkins has the